228. 228. What child is this? 228. If you remain seated. 228. Raise your voice a little bit because we're going to sing a cappella on our third verse, and then the instrumentalist will come in on the chorus there. All right, can we have a chord?
So bring him incense gold and myrrh, come peasant king, you own him, the king.
Flip a few pages back, 198, Born to Die, 198, Born to Die by Ron Hamilton, Born to Die, 198.
On the night Christ was born, just before break of morn, as the stars in the skies were fading, suffered my sin to forgive, born to die upon Calvary, and he was wounded that I might live.
Ladies, let me hear you sing that second verse. Every
Switching things up just a little bit tonight before we get to that final hymn. There's no special music tonight, and so I'm gonna read you just a short story I think you'll enjoy here, and then we'll sing our final hymn of the year, Joy to the World, a great one to end the Christmas season with, focusing on the Lord's return as King of Kings. How many of you, certainly in this area, maybe Northeast, how many remember going when you were younger to Wanamaker's? Maybe you go to Wanamaker's department store. I don't know if they had many up in this area. I remember going to one down in the Harrisburg area. Anyone ever go to the flagship one in Philadelphia? The main store in Philadelphia. Okay, so not too many. Now, I read this to the teens about 6 months ago. Let me read this to you. I remember going to Wanamaker's as a young boy before they closed down and were no longer around. So you may not know much about Wanamaker's or John Wanamaker, but I love reading stories that tie in with the Bible. I love reading about Christians, and I love reading about those, especially that hail from Pennsylvania. So let me just read this short story on this final day of the year, because the verse it ties into is a verse that most of us can quote, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All right, you can finish that there, all right? Well, that was the key to John Wanamaker. So listen well, and perhaps you can share this with someone else. As an adolescent, John Wanamaker took a large sheet of brown paper, wrote down all the things he wanted to be. Maybe you did that at some point in a journal or diary. He wanted to be a minister of the gospel, an architect, a merchant, a journalist, and a doctor. It finally came down to merchant or preacher, minister. In a sense, Wanamaker became both in a way. For many years, Wanamaker ran the largest department store in the world and the biggest Sunday school in America. He was born in 1838 in Philadelphia. John Wanamaker grew up working in his father's brickyard and was converted to Christ at age 18. At age 20, he took a job with the YMCA, Young Men's Christian Association, for $1,000 a year. And within 12 months, had increased the membership from 57 to 2,000. He also started a Sunday school in a downtrodden inner city part of Philadelphia. On the first Sunday, he was run out of the building by a local gang. The next week, Wanamaker tried again with a volunteer firefighter standing guard. On April 8, 1861, Wanamaker, who was 22, resigned from the YMCA, opened his own store. 4 days later, the Civil War began. But Wanamaker persevered and managed to keep his business going through the conflict. 1865, he reorganized his Sunday school into a Presbyterian church, which within 5 years would accommodate over 3,000 people, making it one of the largest churches in the nation at that time. Its wide range of ministries included a soup kitchen, an employment service, a savings bank, a library, and a clothing dispensary for the needy in Philly. 1875, Wanamaker purchased Philadelphia's freight depot and turned it into an arena for evangelist D.L. Moody's campaign, which lasted for several months over the winter of 75 and 76. Now, the platform alone held 1,000 people. The platform, with nearly 9,000 people regularly in attendance for D.L. Moody's campaign. Over 1 million people attended that campaign, with thousands coming to Christ as Savior. After the revival, Wanamaker converted the freight depot into the largest store in the world. It was called the Grand Depot. Now, it's very amazing if you've never read about this. It may blow you out of your seat here, all right? No one had ever seen anything like it ever. 11 acres of retail space, 3,000 employees. Now, this is just one store now. We're not talking about a chain of them, all right? 11 acres of retail space, 3,000 employees, electric lights, a ventilating system, elevators, the largest bookstore and piano dealership in America, and prayer services every day at noon. He was very outspoken for Christ and sought to share the gospel at every opportunity. And if he weren't busy enough, he was appointed Postmaster General of the United States in 1889. In 1901, Wanamaker opened a stunning new department store in Philadelphia, which was considered the most remarkable store on planet Earth. It featured a marble atrium with the largest pipe organ in the world, a crystal tea room that could seat 1,400 diners, the store dedicated by President William Taft in December 3rd, 1911, boasted 46 acres of retail space. John Wanamaker rarely slept. He had incredible will and strength and desire. He worked from 7 in the morning until usually past midnight without showing any signs of flagging or tiredness, even into his 70s. He was an advertising genius, and he had a knack for reaching the masses. He exuded cheer and joy. During the bleak Christmas season of 1917, when America was engaged in the First World War, Wanamaker told his employees, "Try to keep the sunshine all around you, that the people may catch some of it and carry it home, and that the children there and the old people may have a better Christmas because they have drawn some of the spirit of it from you." When he passed away in 1922, at the age of 84, he left $40 million to his heirs. Over 15,000 people showed up for his funeral, with most of them standing in the snow, a testament to his lifelong impact. Now, someone once asked John Wanamaker, one of the most famous, well-known men in the entire world, "How did you get time to run a Sunday school with your 4,000 scholars, in addition to the business in your stores and your work as Postmaster General and all your other obligations? You would have thought that you wouldn't go to church or Sunday school." Instantly, without thinking, John Wanamaker replied, "Why, the Sunday school is my business. All the other things are just things. 45 years ago, I decided that God's promises were sure, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Great Christian man. Most of those stores, I believe, are all closed down. Maybe you didn't know much about him here in Pennsylvania, but many famous stores, J.C. Penney and others, if you've read the history behind them, were started by many Bible-believing Christians who love the Lord and were based on Bible principles as long as they were living. And so I hope that's our theme, 2024. I hope that all of us live that way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Are you willing to trust the Lord on that one? It seems so easy, but very few put him first. Sometimes it's easy to quote that and sing that little chorus, and I find myself letting other things slip in there. Let's seek God first in all that we do and trust him. All right, final hymn of the year, Joy to the World.
194, you can stand while you're looking for that. 194, Joy to the World. And Pastor mentioned this song written by Isaac Watts, or the poem, was originally not meant to be a Christmas poem or song. It was about the second coming of Christ, and that is something as believers we're encouraged to look for. This is one thing we're encouraged to look for. 194, Joy to the World, 194.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare in room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy. Sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings known. For as the curse is found, he rules the world with truth and
amen. Great hymn to finish the year with, tied in with our series looking through that he rules, he reigns. Talked about thorns and the curse. Talking about his second coming, setting up his kingdom, joy to the world. Certainly nothing wrong, I don't think, with singing that. Obviously, the manger tied in with the cross and the empty tomb and the throne. Showing his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All right, we're going to dismiss our Tykes for Truth, their final class of the year. Appreciate the boys and girls, our teachers and workers there. We've got just a couple here tonight, but that's plenty, all right? And if you'll turn in your Bible to the book of Jude, we won't go long tonight. Our goal will be finished by about 6 o'clock. And, of course, we'd love to encourage all of you to come downstairs and enjoy some food and fellowship. And once we fellowship a little bit and eat, then we'll clean up a little bit. And then there's some, you can just sit and talk if you want. You can play tiddlywinks. You can thumb wrestle, you know, whatever you want to do. All right, brought some marbles, tic-tac-toe. We have some more advanced games if you like, some board games, some card games, Uno, whatever. Some of you brought some stuff. And you say, hey, I just want to sit and talk, enjoy a little bit. I'll watch other people play. That is perfectly fine, all right? And we'll finish up around 8. You can make your way out and home. Some of you may be getting together with others. That's perfectly fine. And enjoy perhaps a day off tomorrow as school coming back soon and teachers returning and maybe work as well. All right, you're in the book of Jude, the 65th book of the Bible. And we're going to be wrapping up the book of Jude during the month of January and be finished with that book, Lord willing, and start something new on Sunday nights. Now, next Sunday, we'll have regular Sunday school, continue with the study of the life of the Apostle Paul. Then Sunday morning, my son-in-law Arthur is going to be preaching, and then they're going to be leaving, I believe, the next day. Is that right? On Monday the 8th. And then they're headed back. His parents are in Ohio near Toledo. They're going to spend a little bit of time with them. And then they make the long journey, 27 to 30 hours, depending on how you want to go, to Arizona, all right? Just a little ways off. And so his parents are going to be going with them to drive several vehicles. They're not going to push it to get there. They're going to take some stops and enjoy the trip out there. Arthur's already done it once with his dad, driving the moving vehicle out there. And that was long enough. So they're putting on more miles than a lot of people do in a year here, in a couple of years, this last few weeks. So we're thrilled to have them up here. They love cold weather, all right? They love cold weather, all right? Now, they they love that Georgia weather. They love that California, Arizona weather. And I said, look, you're up here. You got to tough it out. And then when we come visit you, I'll tough it out, all right? Because I don't love the heat and humidity. You know, I know it's different. It's hot. It's a dry air. I know, all right? But still, 120, boom, right in the face when you walk up the plane. It takes a little getting used to. So they can handle it. Last time they were here, they left. It was 0 degrees, minus 13 wind chill. And they still talk about that, all right? All right, so it doesn't look like it's going to be quite that bad. We may have some snow flurries, so we'll see what the weather's like. But we're thrilled to have him here, looking forward to him preaching. And then Nathan will be preaching next Sunday night. Get to hear from a couple of different men as they have been studying the Word of God. And then the following Sunday, Vision Sunday, Charlie's going to be doing Sunday school for the adults. And then we'll continue with a new theme. Looking forward to Evangelist Caleb Reed preaching in February. All right, you're in the book of Jude. As we've been going through the book, and we've gone chronological, we've gone verse for verse, we've gone back and reviewed, we've broken it up a little bit here and there. Last time we covered verse by verse, we finished in verse 13. We have looked at some of them, but tonight's going to be a little bit different, tying in with this final service of the year, New Year's. Not here to talk about goals or resolutions and all of that. Some of you may do that. I think that's great. I don't know there's any wrong with it, pros and cons. I think it's good to set some goals. Hopefully you've got some spiritual goals. A lot of times they're often just physical or health related or things like that, and certainly encouraged to have some good spiritual goals to set for the year, to set those ahead of you, to push forward and press toward the mark. Oftentimes if you don't set any goals, you don't do anything. All right, you just find yourself year after year after year being exactly the same, and the years turn into decades, and they turn into half a century, and you're like, you know, I really never did change. All right, so I think it is good. I hope you have some good goals, and I hope that you're able to attain those with the help of the Lord. But tonight I want to just look at the bookends of the book of Jude. You know what bookends are? Maybe not used as much today, but many of you maybe in the old days may still have some where you have today we have bookshelves, but if you don't, you have just a shelf without any ends. You often have a bookend on each end. It may be something that has a design. It may be something that you like, and those are on each end to keep the books from falling. Bookends. We're going to look at the bookends of the book of Jude. We're going to look at the first two verses and the last two verses and just have a short challenge on that here tonight as we welcome in, Lord willing, 2024. All right, so look with me in the book of Jude, the first two verses, and then we'll turn to the back. Maybe it's on the same page for you, and we'll read the last two verses, all right, and see if we can get a truth that God would have us tonight. All right, the Bible reads, the book of Jude, the first two verses, Jude, starts with the name of the author, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. To them, so notice who the book is addressed to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. All right, that's bookend number one. Now we're going to go to the last part. The last two verses, sometimes called almost like a doxology. Tremendous verses. Look at the last two verses, verses 24 and 25. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Boy, there's a lot packed into those two bookends. And yet, if you remember, if you've been with us at all, do you remember what comes in between? You've got the beginning there, a Jude, a fellow brother in Christ. He calls himself a servant of Christ, brother of James. He doesn't say brother or half-brother of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Lord and Savior. He's humble, but he says, "This brethren, I'm writing to you, beloved. Those of you who are, notice, are already, you are sanctified. You are preserved. You are called. Mercy, peace, and love." You know, everybody's talking about peace, right? Wish we had peace. Peace on earth. No more wars. No more fighting. You know, put down the weapons. Can't we all get along here in America? Can't we all, the states and all the government people and politics and neighbors, can't we just get along and have peace? And can't nations of the world get along and peace on earth? You know, we sang that. We sang that. And you see when true peace will come, all right, based on the Word of God. And yet here it says, to those who are saved, mercy, peace, and love. And then that tremendous doxology ending there, benediction, some would call it, now unto him. maybe would capital H that, speaking of God. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Are you worried? Are you nervous about 2023? Are you one of those who say, you know what, I do make spiritual goals and I always fall flat? So I stop making them. You know, a lot of people say that. Better to not make them and that way I don't have to fail. I just don't make any goals anymore because if I make them and then I don't keep them and then I feel miserable, so better to just not do anything. You say, I failed. You know, I'm going to read through the Bible and I didn't do it. I'm going to have my devotions faithfully and I didn't do it. Oh, we were going to have family devotion. Well, we don't really do it. And I was going to stop watching this and I keep watching it. And I said I was no longer going to read it and I keep reading it. And I was, you know, I'm going to witness one and I didn't. And I'm going to try to be the... And so a lot of people just say, you know what? I just don't do that stuff anymore because I just keep falling and failing. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever or forever. All manner. Amen. Wow. I want to look at that phrase, unto him that is able. Unto him that is able. The bookends of the book of Jude. Now, if that's all we read, we'd be like, whoo, glory, glory, what a marvelous. But if you remember, though, what's the theme of the book? Contending for the faith, apostasy. Let me read you some phrases that come between the bookends. These are all direct quotes from the Bible. Certain men crept in unawares, ungodly men. Everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, dreamers who defile the flesh and despise dominion, brute beasts, woe unto them, reserve the blackness of darkness forever, murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, mockers in the last time who walk after their own ungodly lusts, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Whoa! And that's just a sampling of what comes between the bookends of that great theme of the book, inspired by the Holy Spirit before the end of the age, showing us what would come at the end of the church age. Rampant apostasy in Christendom, professing Christendom. Leaven throughout the professing church. The tares spread by the enemy among the wheat until the day of harvest, judgment. Boy, the devil sowing and just wickedness and apostasy and departure and all of that in the book of Jude as the warning and the challenge for believers in verse number 3, beloved, must earnestly contend for the faith. And that brings us to here we are now, December 31st, 2023. I'm sure we had a little discussion driving here, looking back, right? Some of you, depending on your ages, things you talk about and say, remember we were saying, hey, I remember last time we had our church used to have, not all the time, years ago, and I think this church did have what would call, used to be called watch night services, you know, oftentimes on a New Year's Eve, it's called a watch night service. You know, maybe you'd go from 6 to midnight or 7 to midnight, different times, and it could be part service, part prayer, part fun and games, food, just different churches do different things. And I remember right after we moved to Asheville in 1999. So you remember what happened, right? It was supposed to happen in 2000, right? So we had just gotten there, and so they were going to have a watch night service from like 7 to midnight, and we had moved there. Lauren was one, and we were renting a little apartment there. We hadn't bought a house yet, and so I was a youth pastor, so I went to the service. My wife, I don't believe she came at all with Lauren, and so, well, Y2K, remember those days? Y2K, and you know, oh yeah, yeah, and how everybody was like, who knows what's going to happen? Maybe everything's going to shut down and power. We don't really know the computer grid, and there was, you know, there was some that no big deal. Others were worried a little bit. And I remember going home. We only lived 5 minutes away. I remember slipping out at like 11:45, just in case. Just thinking my wife getting one, just in case things shut down, I want to be there. You know, people were supposed to have food and water, and you know, okay, here it is, the countdown. Oh, 11:59, 50. Oh no, yeah. You know. Maybe you probably remember. How many remember that vividly? Your kids are like, what? And Now, there's others of you, you can go back another generation or two generations and talk about things that others would say, I don't know what you're talking about, all right? Things that were very important, and maybe it wasn't always around New Year's, but things that happened in America that you're like, whoa, or it didn't really come to pass, or oh no, what's going to happen next year? You know, there's always going to be something, and they were talking about in their lifetime and different things. You know, are we going to one day talk about COVID, all right? Like the COVID-19 and just like Y2K, and I have an old Y2K shirt. I pull it every once in a while, all right? We used to wear it on Goofy T-shirt night for teens. And they'd be like, what's that, all right? And you'd have to try to explain it and say, ah, forget it, all right? You know, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. 2024, many of you, maybe you've got tradition, maybe you go to bed early, maybe you watch some things, maybe you have a movie night, maybe my parents, when I was younger, they always said the kids, that was the one night of the year the kids could stay up as late as they wanted. All right, if you can make it. You know, we didn't have TV and cable and all that to do stuff, but hey, if you want, we'd be like, yeah, you know, we'd make it to one maybe. All right, it wasn't as exciting as it seemed to be. All right, not when you're allowed to do it. All right, when you're allowed to do it, it just takes away the, all right, my parents were probably smarter than I thought. All right. And but you know, maybe you do still do some pots and pans. My relatives used to do that. It was an old tradition. Or fireworks. Maybe you live out in the country and it's all right. Go up and down the valley. Just depends where you live and what you do. Maybe you're just like, who cares? It's just a day on the calendar. But regardless of day on the calendar, it is a time where we often turn the page and we say, hey, it's a new year. It's 2024. Maybe I didn't do some things I should have done. Maybe I failed on some things. I have some regrets. But in a way, it's like starting over. I'm going to make some determination. You know, as God is my help, I want to be a stronger Christian. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a stronger team, whatever it may be. What can we pull from the book of Jude here tonight that can help us in some things? Some of us may have some dread. Oh no, I wonder what will come next year. What new disease or sickness? What new world events? What new wars? Who knows what's going to happen? And I'm not that excited about all these kind of things. And yet we can see from the book of Jude here some tremendous things, I think, to focus on, all right? So I'm just going to give three simple points tonight. What is a child of God to do heading into 2024? Again, no special goals to give you or resolutions and all of that. That's up to you if you want to do that. But what about a child of God? And we're talking about the redeemed now. We're not talking about lost people. We're not talking about just every person. We're talking about those who know the Lord. We're talking about those who have the Holy Spirit living within. You're saved, you're redeemed, your name is in the book of life. What are we to do heading into 2022? Is there anything from the book of Jude that we can focus on? I think so. Three simple points tonight. Number one, we need to remember our standing in Christ. We need to remember our standing in Christ. Did you see that there from verse number one? Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them, notice the three part here, that are sanctified, preserved, and called. That's our standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. To them that are, not I hope so, I think I am, I might go to heaven, I'm planning on it. No one can know for sure, some people say. No, the Bible says here that the Word of God, especially this book, was written to those that are saved. And notice the three descriptions here. You are sanctified, set apart. Set apart for a particular service. The idea there is of holiness. It's not just in the mass of humanity. God saved us. Some say, well, what about when you get to, you know, and it says called here. You know, we're going to get into Calvinism a little bit or predestination. Or what about people who's called? Well, I would say this, all are called. Come unto me. The invitation is for whosoever will. Whosoever will. Now, not everybody responds to the call. Not everybody receives salvation, but the Bible says here to those who are sanctified, you are sanctified. As a child of God, you are sanctified. Now, again, there's different forms of that, and I remember preaching a series of that after I first came here. There's different types of that. You're a saint, you're sanctified. But then there's also the work of the Holy Spirit in your Christian life that you are becoming more and more like Christ. That also is the idea of sanctification, the progressive work of the Holy Spirit to make you more like Christ in every area. But here it says, you are sanctified. You are set apart for a particular purpose God has for you. You are preserved in Jesus Christ. You know, that word has the idea of being kept. You know, some people say, what if I'm not saved? Or what if I lose it? Or what if I do too many bad things? And sometimes you live in a lot of fear. And sometimes folks who struggle with assurance,
You know, maybe you're thinking it's based on what you do or how you feel. Or it just doesn't, you don't feel saved, or it doesn't seem like God is there, or what if I'm not, and what if I did some stuff, and God, Bible says for those who are sanctified and preserved, the idea there is you're continually kept. You're continually kept in the Lord. You don't save yourself, and you don't keep yourself. It's all a work of God, all right? None of us could save ourselves, and by the way, none of us could keep ourselves. And that is a work of God. He saves us, He seals us, He preserves us, and it says, and are called. We're called to serve. Jude's not the only one that's a servant of the Lord. I don't know if you picked up that verse. I read it very quickly. I think I read it maybe. I may have jumped over this morning. We were in Revelation 22. I don't think I did read it, but I'm going to read verse 3. You can just listen. Revelation 22, 3. A lot of people say, well, what are we going to do in heaven? Or what are we going to do if there's a new earth? Are we going to go back and forth? Or, you know, the Bible, what exactly are we going to do here? The Bible says in Revelation 22, 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. His servants shall serve Him. Now, we may look at that and be like, we look at that humanly speaking as sinners. Well, does that mean we're going to just serve? No, His servants are going to, we're going to serve the Lord. There is joy there. We're going to serve God however He wants. What a blessing. And here it says we are called. God has a purpose and a plan for us. Wow, we should be remember our standing in Christ. Hey, the old hymn, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. You know, if the Bible stays closed long or it's only read just in little snippets, and then the vast majority of what enters our eyes and our ears is, even if it's not necessarily maybe sinful, it's just of the world. It's a lot of talk radio is not necessarily, a lot of it is not good, a lot of it's bad, a lot of it's neutral, but the vast majority is not Bible-based or Christian-based. It's just people who are conservative, maybe we'd say. It doesn't even mean they're born again, all right? And yet all of that will begin to affect us. And so the Word of God should be the number one thing we're in, and we should be remembering our standing in Christ. If not, we'll get real nervous. We'll watch all the news. We'll wonder what's going to happen. We'll live in constant anxiety and constant fear and constant worry. You know how many health problems come from those things? Many health problems come from fear and anxiety and stress and all of that. They say a lot of the people in hospitals and certainly some of it's a lot of it is not physical. A lot of it is just brought on by just constant. And yet you think about what the Lord says, fear not, fear not, fear not. Do not have confidence in me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your understanding. Be not wise in thine own eyes. All the constant reminders in Scripture for His people to trust Him, to trust His Word, to have confidence in the things of God, to keep our eyes on Him, to remember our position, to not get alarmed when we see apostasy. Now, it ought to bother us. It ought to hurt us. We want to contend for the faith. We want to take a stand, but we ought not to compromise or quit or give up. We need to remember, number one, our standing in Christ. Number two, we should resolve to contend for the faith. I think that comes with it. We need to remember our standing in Christ, but as verse 3 says, I know it's not technically part of the bookend. I could have included it, all right? We need to resolve to contend for the faith. As I was studying and preparing for the Sunday morning messages, boy, it helps me grow in the Lord. It helps me strengthen my resolve. It helps me. That doesn't mean I'm going to act on it. I'm still a sinner and I'm still weak. But it helps strengthen my trust in God. I can get as discouraged as the next person. I can get as down in the dumps as the next person. I can get as much as woe is me as anybody. I can just say, I just want to quit. Absolutely, as much as anybody else. And those times come sometimes where maybe I don't get enough rest or I'm physically a little bit there. I'm out of the Word of God. I can be doing a lot of good things, but not the main things. And you know what? I need to remember my standing in Christ. I need to resolve to contend for the faith. Not to just contend. A lot of us contend with others. We're contentious. The Bible says to contend for the faith, not contend with the faith or those of the faith, to contend for the faith. And I want to encourage us as we go into 2024. Can you look back in any way in 2023, at any moment specifically, where you contended for the faith? Now, that can seem like a vague question to a lot of people, and they're like, what do you mean by that? Doesn't mean that you're a failure or anything. I'm just challenging you. We've looked at the book of Jude now for probably 6 months, off and on, not continually. We've looked at the theme of apostasy. We'll continue to look at it here as we wrap it up. I hope we're beginning to understand what God's showing in the New Testament, especially at the time of his return, the rapture of the church. I mean, the Bible makes it very clear what it's going to be like. And not just in the lost world, but in the professing world of those who name the name of Christ. They're not believers. Apostasy and false doctrine abounds. And that as believers, we don't just cower and just live in our house and not go out and say, oh, woe is me. But we remember our standing. We resolve to contend for the faith. That's the thrust of the book. The thrust of the book here is, as the days of Christ quickly come, as we say, I believe he's coming at any moment. Boy, it can't get much worse, we say. You think the believers said that back in the first century? As they were being persecuted by the Romans? Do you think they said that? Do you think they said that if you know anything about the Dark Ages spiritually from 500 to 1500? If you've studied church history, Fox's Book of Martyrs, you read some of that, you think they said that? It can't get any worse than this. If you're not a student of church history, and you got to be careful what you're reading there, but reading the Bible as your number one book and then filling in the gaps with church history as you see the history of the true believers now, not just churches and denominations necessarily, although that is helpful as well. It can't get any worse than this. He's going to have to come soon. All right? Oh, my goodness. No, I think probably in every age there's been believers who say that. You know, this has got to be as bad as it ever gets. And yet, if we just looked in America, I mean, we have it pretty good. We're not in North Korea. We're not in Kazakhstan. We're not in China. We're not in some places that we don't even know about. Your faith is either real. I mean, it could be over. We're not in some of these Middle East countries where you are saved out of Islam if you're going to contend for the faith, or even Judaism. I mean, the most that happens to most of us, maybe we get fired from our job, maybe, if we contend for the faith. Maybe. Maybe we lose some friends. Maybe we get shunned a little bit. Maybe people will say stuff that we're, you know, a little bit too strict or too whatever, provided our spirit and attitude are biblical. But that's about it. Maybe we get laughed at or shunned or deleted from social media for the right reason. Contending for the faith. Maybe we lose an account or we lose some business. But that's about all that happens here in America if we contend for the faith, for the most part. Maybe your family cuts you off. And those are real things. I'm not saying those are just light. But we don't know a whole lot about what true persecution is to contend for the faith. And so I ask you again, as I ask myself, can I give any specific instant in 2023 where I, as a child of God, contended for the faith? Now, you might look at that as soul winning, and I suppose that's part of it sometimes. But that's something we should all be doing, I think, sharing the gospel, proclaiming the gospel. Did you overhear anybody in any way making fun of God, the Word of God, anything that God holds dear, the family, marriage, things that God holds dear, and you say, I got to contend for that now. I got to stand up for my Lord. I got to stand up for the Word of God. I got to speak out. Now, Lord, help me here, but I just can't stand idly by. Is there any way that you and I contended for the faith? Did you write a letter? Did you share something that was on your heart to a Christian organization? We're like, what in the world? Did you go to anybody and did you in any area contend for the faith? Because I think if we're not careful, and I really include myself here, we'll become familiar with the book of Jude and say that verse, but then we'll never contend for the faith, or we'll never even really know what that means. It'll just be a mysterious thing that, you know, you're supposed to do, but I'm not sure what it is. And we need to remember our standing in Christ. And our standing in Christ should then help us, number two, to resolve to contend for the faith. The body of truth that was given once and for all to God's people, to the body of Christ. We need to be serious students of the Word of God. If you're not a serious student of the Word of God, it's time to start. 2024. Now's the time, young people and older people. There's never a time to get in the Word, to begin to really study, to see the Scriptures, to be able to give an answer to every man, to be able to help those that have questions, to be able to conquer those doubts, to nail down those convictions that you're still not positive on, that you were unsure about when you were a teen, and now you're an adult, and you still don't have them down maybe, or you're a teenager questioning, or whatever it is, and to get those down and settled once and for all. And that leads us to number three. Number three, our final point. We should remember our standing in Christ, sanctified, preserved, continually kept and called by the power of God. He is in control. He is in control. My God rules. He reigns. He is supreme. I can trust Him. No doubt about it. I love God. He's holy. He's precious. The Word of God. I resolve to contend for the faith, not because the preacher says so. That's the key. As preachers come and preachers go. And as the old hymn from Martin Luther, feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. But the Word of God stands forever. And we don't live by our emotions or our feelings or what does this person do, because people can change. Institutions, colleges, churches, they can all change. You can change. We need to resolve to contend for the faith because that's what God has said, not me. Not because the preacher's been hitting on it all the time. Because that's what God says to do. He tells us to do that. He wants us to do that. That's why we're here. Part of the reason is to proclaim the gospel, to contend and stand for the faith as the devil sows and gets the leaven, as apostasy is rampant. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And that leads us to number three then. As a believer, we're to remember our standing in Christ. We're resolved to contend for the faith. And we're to rejoice. Rejoice in our great God. And that brings us to the second bookend, the last two verses. Let's finish with this, these final 5 minutes. All the things that come between. Now, I realize that the last four or five verses, which we haven't really looked at, verses 20 to 23, is some tremendous practical truths for believers. Because you can focus so much on the apostasy that all you do is get discouraged and depressed. As one person that you looked up to maybe wasn't a believer, or a true believer who just compromised, or someone that you, and you get real, you know, and have to be careful. There's nothing wrong with having some heroes in the faith, but you find out as you get a little bit older. When you were younger, you had all these heroes that were, you know, flesh and blood and real, you know, and then you can get disillusioned quick. And you begin to find your hero should be from God, the Word of God. And the people in the Word of God obviously were flesh and blood like us, and they weren't perfect, and we see a lot of that. But you realize that, you know what, just like myself, we're feet of clay, we're inconsistent, we're not all that we can be. And sometimes you get to know someone close and realize, oh, they're not as, I'm a little disappointed. Or our strength and rejoicing should be in the Lord Jesus Christ, our great God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the great three in one. Look at that conclusion here, the benediction. Despite all the apostasy, despite all the warnings, don't worry, there's going to be mockers. There's going to be judgment. There's going to be ungodliness. There's going to be people departing from the faith. But now we finish that book with, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. Boy, I see people falling left and right. I see people departing. There's not many left anymore. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. Do you believe that? You believe that? You when you go through Psalms and Proverbs, take note of all that where it says about your feet and stumbling. Keep your feet from slipping and your feet from stumbling. You start seeing that again. It's like a repeated theme as you go through Psalms. All right? You see, it's in there a lot. You start, well, that's interesting, you know? Lord, keep my feet from slipping, my feet from falling. That will not stumble. Interesting. Doesn't mean we're not going to sin. Doesn't mean there's not times where we fail God and we fail. But now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. That obviously has part of that. We're not going to have any fear of hell or losing our salvation, which is sort of an oxymoron. But as a child of God, He's able to keep you from falling. Just because others fall doesn't mean you have to. Just because others walk away doesn't mean you have to. Just because you know that you're flesh and blood and weak doesn't mean that you have to. Now unto Him, God, who is able to keep you from falling, and not just to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. We don't have to come dragging to the judgment seat of Christ. As a child of God, we can go to the judgment seat of Christ with joy. We can stand before our Lord and Savior with expectation. Doesn't mean, I'm not talking about cockiness. We don't have to think like, oh, it's going to be awful and terrible and I'm going to be dragging in there. Now, why does it have to be that way? Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. If our God was strong enough to save us, is He not able to keep us from falling on a daily basis? Is He not able to guide our paths if we obey Him? Is He not able to present us faultless absolutely He is. We need to rejoice in our great God and Savior. He is able. And look at that final doxology, verse 25. I don't know if anybody ever made verses 24 and 25 into a chorus or a hymn. Perhaps they have. Perhaps some of you in here have the talent to do that. Honor the Lord. To the only wise God, our Savior. Remember, He's not just one God or supreme God above other gods. He's the only God. He's not just one king above a lot of kings. He is the only king, King of kings. He's not just one Lord among the lords. He's the only Lord, Lord of lords. There is no one else. Our God omnipotent rages. What would be a great way to finish this service and to finish the year would be for the choir to be up here saying, "Worthy is the Lamb," that we just sang at the cantata. Boy, what a way to go into the next year and just sing that out with all you have. I'll tell you what, wow, draw our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ as we read Jude 25, to the only wise God, our Savior. Be glory. He should get all the glory, not you and I. To be glory and majesty, dominion and power, all of that combined. Those would be great word studies for all of us. Our time is up tonight. It talks about His sovereignty. It talks about His authority. It talks about His might. It talks about His glory. It talks about His majesty. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. May you and I remember our standing in Christ, resolved to contend for the faith. May we rejoice in our great God. Why? Because He's worthy. He is worthy. And if He gives us another day, another week, another month, another year, another decade until He comes, He's worthy every day. No matter what you and I do, no matter what happens in the world around us, no matter what the bank account, our health, no matter anything, He is always worthy. And may He receive all the glory and all the majesty for all that He does for us. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer. Thank you for worshiping with us here tonight on this final day of 2023. I know there'd be some human disappointment, perhaps, if you went to bed tonight and you woke up in heaven. Now, you wouldn't be disappointed in heaven, but I know sometimes you're like, "Oh, but there's still a lot of stuff on. I'd like to graduate. You know, I'd like to this, or I know, but I still have some things I'd like to do." Or and humanly, because we're sinners, we sometimes get, not everybody. Some of you are like, "Oh, I'm ready." I'm ready. All right. But the Lord may come at any moment, or He may not come, because He's not willing that any should perish. Regardless of that, may we serve our Lord with joy. And may we anticipate great things next year. Father, we love You. We know that our love pales compared to Your great love. Lord, most of us, if we're honest, I know I am, it's easy to love those that are nice. Those that are kind, those are our friends. Those that think like us and laugh with us and we get. But Lord, it's a challenge to love the others, Lord. And then we think of Your great love and how You loved Judas, who betrayed You. How You loved Peter, who denied You. How You loved the disciples who abandoned You. How You loved those even on the cross who mocked You as You said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what You do." Lord, Your love, unconditional, Lord, makes our love look unworthy. But Lord, I pray that You would help us as Your children to love You as You love us, to love those around us, Lord, to share the gospel with those who have never heard, or those who've heard, but yet their mind is blinded. Lord, to contend for the faith as good stewards of the Word of God and the gospel that's been entrusted to us. Lord, to be faithful to assemble together with a local church, to fellowship, to worship, to serve, to minister, Lord, as You have told us to do until You come. Lord, thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You, Lord, for Your fact that You are able to keep us from falling. You are able to present us faultless before the presence of Your glory with exceeding, Lord, great joy. And may You receive all the glory and the majesty and the dominion and the power, Lord. We love You. We ask Your protection for those driving home. Bless our time of food and fellowship. May it be a sweet time, Lord, as we finish out the year, Lord, anticipating great things next year. We love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.